Mark 7:24. I'm going to read this to you from Mark, and I'm going to let you be seated. I'll give you my text. I want to read it again from Matthew, because I want to draw everything I can out of these two texts. Mark 7:24, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid." Thank God for that. "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." The woman was a Greek. Let's call her a Gentile. One of them nasty old Gentiles. She was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled." "For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs," which is what they call Gentiles. "And she answered and said unto him, Lord, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the crumbs," or the children's crumbs. Even the dogs under the... You're right about what you're saying about the children should eat till they're full. But you know what? The dog sits under the table and waits for what you would feed the children. Just wants a crumb. That's all I want. "And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." Because you're willing to act like a dog to get a crumb, in this house especially, where all my disciples are there and all these children of promise, all the children of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, basically you might say, are there. "And you said that in their presence, for this saying, I'm kicking the devil out of your house." Wow. Thank the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning about the children's bread, okay? The children's bread. God, I come before you this morning with a message. I believe that if we'll apply it to our lives, it will change lives for the better, and not just one time, but everlasting. We ask you, Lord, to help us to understand this, live it, walk it each and every day in the name of Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I want to read this again in Matthew, and bear in mind, I want to talk to you about the children's bread. And watch how Matthew says it. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast." Now I want you to notice, she followed him evidently there already. Perhaps she lived there. I don't know. But what I do know is she kept following him. She came out of the same coast he came out of. "And cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. I know who you are. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Do you know how many people are vexed of a devil and don't know it? This woman recognized that my daughter is troubled with a devil. Not just every once in a while, grievously. It's constant. Now, this is the interesting thing that I'm reading. I want to read it in Mark, because she says, "Have mercy on me, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And he answered her, "Not a word. Not a word." So when he didn't answer her a word, the disciples thought, time to get rid of her. He's not even talking to her. He's ignoring her, so it must be time. He must want us to get rid of her, because he would have answered her had he been wanting to talk to her, but he don't want to talk to her, so let's get rid of her. Now watch what happens. "And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us." She's troubling us. We're trying to, you know, this is the children of Israel. This is the ones he came for. And they don't recognize what she recognizes. "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Is this how you worship?
We got sometimes a misunderstanding of praise and worship. Praise is when you, oh, thank you, Jesus, for all you. Worship is when you call him who he is. She called him, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And here she says, Lord, help me. You know, anytime you ask for help from somebody, you're worshiping them. You're telling them you have greater power than I have. I need your help. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread. All of these disciples I've got here and all the Jews that I came for, and not the literal bread, but the spiritual bread, and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Now, let me stop here and tell you that the reason he's saying great is thy faith, you may remember one other time to another Gentile, the centurion soldier, you remember he told him, no greater faith have I seen in all, no, not in all of Israel? Because he said, just speak the word and my servant will be made whole. Both of these have left their home and the problem behind to seek out Jesus. They're both Gentiles. And he told him, you don't need to come to my house. Told Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. This woman's at his feet. But he came to the Jews and his own received him not. These were the household of faith. But they didn't have any faith. But these two had faith. And so he told that man, he said, no greater faith have I seen in all of Israel. In other words, nobody in Israel, none of my children have this kind of faith. And he's telling this woman inside of this man's house at this supper, great is thy faith. They don't even have the faith you've got. And I have come to feed them. And you're begging me for what they could get plenty of, and you just want a crumb. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. She said, truth, Lord, yet dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. Same thing as the centurion man. Before he got home, he had to compare notes with another guy. I said, when did that happen? He said, well, it happened this time. He said, the same hour my servant was healed. These are two examples of those he didn't come to feed, yet they were hungry for him. I want to discuss with you this morning for a little while the children's bread. It's evident from this passage of scripture that Christ came to feed his children. He came to feed his children. Children have to be fed. Now, I would expect you to feed your children before you feed my children. If there wasn't but one meal left, would you give it to my son or to your son? I'd expect you to give it to your son. That's what I expect you to do. And that's what I would do. Because that's my son. And here he came to feed his own, and his own wants him not. And you see a woman that he didn't come to feed is at his feet begging for what they're not begging for. You might remember the time of Elijah and the widow woman. He came to the widow woman and he said, what do you have to eat? And she said, Lord, Master, I don't have anything but a little meal and a little oil, and I'm going to bake a cake for me and my son, and we're going to die. Now, I don't know if you've ever caught this, and I want to bring this to your attention. In 1 Kings 17 and 13, it said, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. Don't worry about what I'm fixing to tell you. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and thy son. Have you ever noticed exactly how this goes here? He didn't say give it all to me. That's the way many times we interpret that. He said, well, do it for me first. You get me first. If there's anything left, then you can. No, he just said give me first. Now, if you give him first, you just have less. When you pay your tithes, give your offerings, he's not asking for everything you got. You just have less. But if you're not willing to operate on less, then you'll never get more. Okay, because this is what he said. Make it for me first. And when she made it for him first, that didn't mean she didn't have nothing left. But you know what? It stayed. The meal and the oil stayed. And she lived off of that for the rest of the famine. And so we learn a principle here of putting God ahead of your own needs and necessities. When you look at the woman that as they marched around to put their money into the plate, and Jesus and some other disciples are sitting there, and Jesus goes, "Hey, did you see how much she gave?" Well, said, "Lord, it wasn't but two pennies." He said, "Yeah, but she gave of." He didn't say she gave everything she had. What he said was she gave of her necessities. But those other dudes gave out of their abundance. She now has less. So which one was blessed? That's the principle of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will follow behind it. When the rich young ruler came up to Christ, he probed him a little bit and said, "Well, what must I have to do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "Well, obey the commandments." He said, "Well, I've done all that from my youth up." He being willing to justify himself. He didn't say, "Sell all you have and give it all to the poor." That's not what he said. He said, "Sell what thou have, what you have, and give unto the poor." He didn't expect him to be as poor as the people he was giving it to, so that they got richer than he was. That's not, you see, this is, people get this so messed up. What he's saying is, if you will do with less, I'll make it more. Because the widow woman knew that if God is in it, little is much, if God is in it. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. I want to tell you there's a difference between a crisis and a trouble. Some of you this morning are in trouble, but maybe only one or two of you this morning are in a crisis. When I got up this morning, there was trouble. As soon as I got to church, I'm looking at the pipes because I know trouble's coming. But it's not a crisis, it's trouble. And so this morning, I want to talk to someone who maybe you're not dealing with trouble, you're in a crisis. And I think you're here this morning. Trouble will find you every day. But a crisis many times only comes once or twice in life, a real crisis. Sometimes you think it's a crisis, but real crises don't come really that often. But when you get in a real crisis, and let me tell you the difference between trouble and crisis. In troubles, you'll still try to hang on to everything you hang on to and survive. But in a real crisis, you'll do what Paul did when the ship was sinking. They even cast the gold out because it got down to their life. Or sink or swim. And in a real crisis, you quit trying to hold on to things and you give up and let him take over. You quit trying to save some stuff for yourself in a real crisis. This woman has had the trouble in her house probably for a while, but it has escalated to a crisis. Now that her daughter is grievously vexed. How do I know that she's in a crisis? I'll tell you how I know. You try to live with the devil. Every day, you're fighting that demon. They never give up. They never give up. But beyond that, the proof of the crisis is that she followed Jesus out of the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Up the mountain, let's say, down the valley, across the rocks, and into another man's house he goes. And she followed. Now, you know when someone's in a crisis, they say, "I'll follow this word, whatever it says. I'll give up whatever I got to give up." And too many people want God. They're just in trouble. They're not in a crisis. They're in trouble. And, well, I don't know about that scripture right there. I don't know if I want to give that up. Do I have to be like that? Can't I still? You're not in a crisis. No. When you get in a crisis, you say, "Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I leave. I brought nothing into this world. I'm certain that I will bring nothing out. Now, the Lord taketh, and the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's a crisis. When you get in a crisis, you begin to praise him. And this woman has gotten to where she is in a crisis. A crisis, you can have that issue of blood for 12 years. That's fine. Go seek all the doctors you want to. It's not a crisis until you say, I got to do something. I'm out of money. It's only getting worse. I got to do something. And she pressed through the crowd to get to Jesus. Why? Crisis. A crisis will make you do things you would never do before. Trouble will make you, well, maybe I can get around it. Maybe I can skirt. Crisis will make you say, you four guys, I got the palsy, I can't walk, but if you'll lift me up, take me to that rooftop, cut a hole in that man's roof, and let me down in front of Jesus. This is an emergency. I can't take another day of this. That's a crisis. And I don't know, but I think I'm talking to somebody this morning that you need to hear what I've got to say. Desperation tells me whether you're in a crisis or not. This woman didn't want to live another day with the devil molesting her daughter. So she follows Jesus to this man's house uninvited. She barges in, falls down at his feet like a dog begging bread. She wasn't begging bread for herself. She was begging bread for her daughter, her children. She left behind the problem. Listen close. She left behind the devil with her daughter to go to Jesus. And until you're willing to leave your home and leave everything behind and go find him, your problem over there will never be fixed. Never be fixed. You have got to be willing to leave that behind and seek his help without that hindering you. She barged into this other man's house. Some people will never get what they want because they'll never leave their problem behind to get it fixed. They'll never leave the comfort of their own home. They'll never leave their comfort zone. They'll never walk through the valley. They'll never walk over the mountain. They're only going to follow Jesus so far. This is as far as I go. You're not in a crisis. A real crisis, you don't care how long it takes. You just need it. And I need it now. But I'll keep asking. If it's tomorrow, I'll be back tomorrow. When you're in a real crisis, you will stay under that table and beg and beg and beg until he answers you. He answered her not a word. She didn't come, listen close, to take the children's bread. She knew that he came for the lost children of Israel, of which she is not. So she's not saying, give me their bread. She's saying, give me what they have left over. Give me a crumb that would fall from this table. I tell you, I can't really understand it, how people will go to Disney World or Six Flags or wherever you go and get in line for over an hour to ride in a little boat for 3 minutes. And get out of that line and go get in another line for another 3 minutes. When you add up all the real time you was in the boat, it's about 10 minutes. And you was all day long in a line wanting to feed your flesh. But when it comes to feeding your soul, and it comes to getting the things that you really, 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 really need from God, we want it just like that. If you don't heal me now, I'm not coming back. If you don't take care of the situation, I don't believe there's a God. And you start questioning God because you want him to be instant, but you'll wait and wait and wait for what you want in a fleshly way. This woman went out of her way. Let me just make an announcement. You will never, ever get what you need for God as long as you stay in your way. You must come out of your way to get into his way to get what he has for you. You must find, where is God? I must find God. We get so comfortable. We get so comfortable that sometimes if I even ask you to sit close, it's like, ooh. So comfortable. Well, get ready. When we move in that new church, we're going back to the old benches with wooden slats. And they'll pinch you if you don't get up in time. At his feet like a dog, she just looked into his eyes, saying, I have a daughter at home that's grievously vexed. Could you have mercy on me? Could I have a crumb? If you can do anything, please help me. Now listen close. I'm here for my children like you're here for your children. That's what he's telling her, him. She's saying, I am here for my child like you're here for your children. You're here because they're hurting. I'm here because mine is hurting. And when he thought about that, she's doing what I'm doing. She wants the devil cast out just like I want the devil cast out. But look at all these other guys around here that I came for. If he were a prophet, he would have known this woman is of the world. Here they are criticizing me, and there she is, the one I didn't come for, praising me. He seemed to ignore her and said not a word. And the disciples kind of picked up on that, and they were ready to thrust her out. But he said, leave her alone. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get shamed when I don't shake somebody's hand. Or think he didn't speak to me and ignored me and all this. How would you like to come to Jesus and say, hi, Jesus, I'm here for my daughter's grievously vexed with a vessel. You'd never make it. We'd snatch our stuff up and say, well, if that's the way he's going to be, after I traveled all the way over here to see him, we've got to change this. Dogs master bread. Dog master children's bread. I went squirrel hunting the other day. I got everybody's attention at squirrel hunts. I went squirrel hunting the other day and I killed some squirrels and I've got two squirrel dogs. And so I got ready to clean those squirrels and there's a chain link fence between me and them. And I skin them on one side and they're on the other side. Where do you think they are? Out in the yard, running around? No, no, no. They're right there at that fence. I just say it this way. They're looking for a crumb too of a different kind. They just, and if I raise that squirrel up, they're up. If I put that squirrel down, they're down. They just follow me wherever, whatever I do. Their eyes on it. Hoping, maybe, possibly, something will fall. Now, listen close. If I don't give them anything, do you think they'll be back tomorrow? Oh, yeah. They're back tomorrow and the next day and the next day. They keep hoping and hoping and hoping and praying that something will fall their way. But us? Oh, no. Oh, no. We don't get it today. This woman was persistent. Her eyes were glued on him, while everybody's eye, all the other eyes was glued on her. He answered her not a word. So when he didn't answer her, she just began to praise him. She began to call him, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. She was begging him. I started to shoot a video of my older dog. As I was skinning those squirrels, he makes this little noise. Because he's just wanting something so bad. Well, that's what he's like. And I felt like, man, I got to give him something. That's the way she was doing. She was begging him. Give me something. I'm not asking for the whole loaf. I'm not asking for a slice. I am asking for a crumb of the children. I want a crumb of their bread. Her worship began to get to the heart of Jesus. He said, it's really not right that I should give the children's bread to you until they're full. And you get whatever's left over. But they don't want it. What is the children's bread, Sister Valentine? It's healing. It's peace. It's joy. It's righteousness. It's long-suffering. It's all the things that the loaf has. It's everything that God has He wanted to give to them, His children. But His children didn't seem to want it, didn't have an appetite for it. But boy, was she hungry. Lord, I got a girl at home. Let me tell you, she is grievously vexed with the devil. Could I just have a crumb of what you're going to give to them? And Jesus answered her and said, "Oh, woman, great is thy faith." Her faith was greater than the children's faith. Her faith was greater. Let me tell you something. There's many a sinner got more faith than you do. When you look through the Bible, a lot of these were rank sinners, but they had more faith in Christ than those that followed Him. Guess who was at the cross? How about the woman that had seven devils called Mary Magdalene? Guess who wasn't there? The Apostle Peter. She got to the heart of Jesus. "Give me a crumb. I know you came to this house to break bread physically with them, but spiritually, I just need a crumb of the children's bread that you would give to them as they come this morning." Does anybody need God's attention this morning? Anybody? Let me tell you what won't get His attention first. Complaining. You come to me and say, "Brother Baggett, I need to talk to you. I got something." I'll listen to you. I'll listen to you. But can I tell you that's why the children of Israel did not go to the promised land? Was because they complained. That doesn't get God's attention. Not to get what you want. Or what you need. Murmuring don't do it. And even rehearsing it don't do it. Let me tell you, Lord, what happened to me. Let me tell you something about that devil that came in. Let me tell you how that devil came. I'm sick of that devil. You know what? You could come over there and do it. No, that's not going to get it done. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I know it's their bread. I know healing belongs to the Jews. But could I just have a little crumb of it today?" I believe tonight, this morning, that somebody needs healing right here in their mind. We're scared to admit I'm having trouble here. "Oh, pray for this. We got no problem." But when it comes to this, which is the most important thing you got, we fail to say, "I need help." Paul made it very clear we serve the Lord with our mind. I believe Jesus just kind of looked around the room at all of His children. See, that's who He came for, was all of them. And there they are talking, visiting, and telling jokes. And here's this woman who's there for her daughter, her children, just like He came for His children, but His children rose up to play. And here's this woman just wanting a crumb of what they could have freely. And while they were ignoring the loaf, she said, "Crumb, please. Crumb, please." I said this once before, I say it again. She must have knew a little bit about pharmacology. Because, I'll call it crumology. Okay, crumology. Because you that bake a cake, you know when you bake a cake, you put sugar in there and you mix it all up, right? Chocolate in there and you mix it all up, you know? Let's call it, you put healing in there and you mix it all up. You put salvation in there and you mix it all up. Right? Real good. And you bake the cake. Here's what she realized. Whatever is in the loaf is in the crumb too. Woo! Whatever is in the cake in that part is in that little part too. She realized that whatever, if healing is in the loaf for them, then healing is in the crumb for me. And I don't need the loaf. Just give me the crumb. Because little is much if God is in it. Oh, hallelujah. Would you stand this morning? Hallelujah. I ask this morning, I know that I'm talking to somebody. I ask you to go out of your way. Well, today's not the day. It'll never be the day if you don't make a way. I'm asking this morning for anybody and everybody. I don't care. You don't have to tell me the problem. Maybe you need healing in your mind. You don't want to say it. Maybe you need healing in a marriage. You don't want to say it. I understand. Maybe it's the job that's getting to you. I don't know. But whatever it is, I know this. You've got to bring it to Jesus. You have got to bring it to Him. And you have got to, you'll go out of your way to get the job. You'll go out of your way to get something to eat. You'll go out of your way to go hunting. But will you go out of your way to get what you need spiritually? I'm asking this morning as they sing a song for everybody and anybody that wants a crumb. You need something in your home. You need something, maybe. If you'll worship Him here, He'll do something over there. And while she was worshiping here, the devil went out over there. Oh, God. This girl, the one that had the devil, didn't have a chance. She didn't have a chance. When we look at the man that was possessed with the devils, he didn't have a chance. Except Christ working his behalf. This lady, no doubt, had dealt with that devil long enough. And she knew I had to leave the house with her and the devil there. Until I get to Jesus. I don't know what shape she's going to be in when by the time I get to Jesus. But I know what shape she'll be in by the time I get back.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. Sometimes we don't know what's going to happen if you just leave them alone. They didn't hear that. Sometimes you don't know what's going to happen if you'll just leave them alone. And go get Jesus. Amen. Go find Jesus. And intercede for them while they're fighting their devil. Because if He don't do it, Jimbo, it won't get done. It won't get done.